Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new chapter of Old Man Brad. Whether you are new to the show or returning for another chapter, thank you so much for giving my little horror podcast a listen. And if you love the show, drop me a review over on your favorite podcatcher, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, wherever you listen to the show. I would love to hear what you think. So this chapter, I have another great interview for you. I interviewed the director, the writers, one of the stars of the new film Bloodline Killer. I had the chance to talk to Ante Novakovic, the director of the film, and the writers Anthony and James Gaudioso. James also starred in the movie. Anthony also had a role in the movie. I had a chance to sit down with all three of them and talk about the film. But before we jump into all things Bloodline Killer, I just want to say, come out to the Esquire Theater if you're in Cincinnati for Frightful Fridays. It is the third Friday of the month. I host a horror screening. Just this past month, we did the 30th anniversary screening of Brain Scan, starring Edward Furlong. Just make sure you come out in May, on May 17th. We are working to lock down the movie right now, but like I said, third Friday of the month. Let's watch a movie together. All right, let's move into Bloodline Killer.
Miss Mora, I'm Detective Seifert. Look, I know you've been through a lot tonight. Help me find the person that killed your husband.
Dad?
Dad!
The killer is still at large.
Miss Dad.
We're not meant to suffer alone, so keep going.
Still trying to get to the bottom of what happened. You and your sons deserve a better life. Skeleton
is dead.
You never found his body.
Bloodline Killer is a terrifying horror thriller that follows Moira Cole, who endeavors to rebuild her shattered life after the murder of her family at the hands of her deranged and obsessed cousin. So this movie stars Taryn Manning, Shawnee Smith, Drew Morline, Tyrese Gibson, and James Gaudioso, and many others. And I'm just going to give kind of a quick thoughts on the film, and then we're going to jump into my interviews with Ante, Anthony, and James. We kind of talk more about the film there. I'm going to keep it completely spoiler-free. This movie drops in select theaters and on digital on April 26th. I really did enjoy this movie. It kind of takes the idea of that masked killer, that masked slasher. It kind of really sets you up really big at the beginning. There are some murders, and this family is dealing with this death in the family. We fast forward a year later, and they're still, you know, each member of the family is kind of dealing with this traumatic incident in their own different way. You know, some of them are shutting down and completely just kind of giving up on life. One's trying to move on. Another is trying to make everybody kind of amends. But then you have the other side. So you have the killer's sister and how she's dealing with things. It is a good, not only just a slasher, you get the mass killer. There are some good kills in this movie, but it really focuses on the family, extended family, the trauma that happens with a large event, the PTSD that can happen as time goes on of, I don't want to leave the house because something happened to me. And various things like that, which overall, I enjoyed the movie. I'm going to kind of leave it at that because I don't want to give anything away and tell you too much. I want you to go rent or go out and see the movie and let me know what you think of it after you see it. So let's move into my interview with Ante Novakovic and the Gaudioso brothers, Anthony and James, and I will talk to you on the other side. Hey, everybody. Like I said at the top of the show, I have a great group of guests in today. They have many projects under their belts, from producing to writing to directing, but their new film, Bloodline Killer, is coming out very soon. I want to welcome in director Ante Novakovich and the Gaudioso brothers, Anthony and James. How are y'all doing today?
Very well. Very happy to be here, Brad.
Now, tell me a little bit about Bloodline Killer for those who may not know, you know, about the film.
Where do we start? It's a story about Moira Cole, who's played by Shawnee Smith, and it's her ability to deal with the aftermath of a very horrifying childhood, let's say, incident, ongoing, lineage-wise, that she carries with her into her adult life as she's raising her two children and living a normal family life in the suburbs that comes back to haunt her in very specific ways, generationally speaking. It's a layered, depth-filled, horrifying, terrifying world of conjuring and, you know, menace, let's put it that way.
What inspired the story for Bloodline Killer?
I think that I wanted to do a send-up film to sort of honor some of the classics that we really enjoyed, like Silence of the Lambs and Misery, and then also some of these really wonderful slashers from back in the day, like Black Christmas. And at the core of it, though, which Ante really hit on, is that it really is about a family and sort of dealing with trauma and what would be left over in the wake of that trauma, and what if that trauma was revisited?
Yes, I mean, it is very much a story with grief, PTSD, the way people just kind of deal with it in different ways throughout time. Any life experiences that any of you brought into the movie?
We all have families, so. No, I mean, instantly, you know, there's that, you know, in whatever shape or form, I guess, you know. Personal experiences that would attribute directly to this in a way? No, but probably the idea of menace, the implication of menace in one's life, in whatever format that took. You know, throughout childhood, it could have been bullies in the schoolyard, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and you just attribute it to a grander scale, as the film does.
Yeah, I think just our collective appreciation of the genre, the three of us and the team at large really just kind of share the appreciation for these kinds of films, and we wanted to explore it together. The trauma of the family, but also coupled with that fantastic kind of slasher capsule.
Now, was it difficult, you know, you have a mass killer, and now doing it, was there a lot of work to go in to be like, you know, I don't want this just to be another mass killer movie, because, you know, there's a million of them out there.
100%. I mean, that was the inception, and there were a lot of conversations had around that being the essence of the story, is that nucleus of it is a family. It's familial in a way, in the sense that there's all the dynamics and failing, you know, relationships, restructuring of relationships, foundational groundwork between the family that needed to come into play, as opposed to it being wall to wall just in the slasher genre. So there is that familial aspect that kind of grounds it in the reality of people dealing with something, metaphorically dealing with something, you know, that the dysfunction and the PTSD and all that. And then, you know, surrounded, I would say hugged and surrounded and embraced by the slasher ethic, be a good way of putting it. He's always lurking. He's never too far.
But that is a great question, Brad. Because there's different ways that you can approach the slasher genre, but we really did want to make a sound film about, you know, and have the family really have it always come back to the family and to what they're going through and to what their individual struggles and, you know, stripes are within their own connectivity, and then have them stalked by a serial killer.
Of course.
Both Anthony and James, you're both in the film, and James, you are predominant role in the film. Was it always something, you know, when you wrote it, you were like, you know what, I want to be in it? Or did Ante, you were like, you know, you have to be in this movie?
If I could.
Go for it.
This is an interesting question, because there was the conversations at the very beginning of both Anthony and Jay. We would go back and forth about what roles they would or wouldn't play. It was an elongated conversation. There was always James as Connor, obviously. He did a brilliant, brilliant turn of the character in the film. Absolutely brilliant. One of the two siblings. But then there was a question mark, are we playing the two siblings? Are we, that kind of thing came up regularly. It was a kind of little, it was ping pong for a while. I kind of sat back at a certain point and watched James and Anthony talk about it until they resolved and went, okay. You know, because I, you know, the material was there. I was open to all of it.
Ante was incredibly open, and when we met him sort of early on in the process, when I initially wrote the script, I always wanted to play Connor Cole, and I really enjoyed the brokenness of that character and where we could take it together and sort of where the trauma took that character. And it was really interesting. I was able to do a lot of things physically. I lost 27 pounds for the role, and Ante and I really played with that character and what that looked like. Initially, there was an idea, Ante's correct, of Anthony coming on to play the other sibling. And now that character was played by Drew Moorline, who did a wonderful job. And the other cast members that rounded it out, Shawnee Smith is fantastic as the matriarch of the family, and several other characters. But that was always sort of intended. And I feel so fortunate and so blessed because it was a wonderful character to create and play. And so I'm super excited for everyone to see it.
You mentioned Shawnee Smith. You know, she's obviously no stranger to horror. Everybody knows her from the Saw franchise and stuff like that. How did she get involved with everything?
We had worked with her previously. Our other producing partner, Rob Simmons, we had worked with her previously on another project. And when it came to Bloodline Killer, we looked at all the roles. And, you know, we kind of circled the idea of Shawnee as the matriarch because it would be just a kind of seamless fit for her, we felt, in so many ways, obviously, with her experience, her wealth of, you know, knowledge and wisdom within the genre itself. And so we started to initiate that conversation, and it kind of, you know, went a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Was she, wasn't she kind of thing? I think she was working on Saw 10 at the time in Mexico, so it was a bit of touch and go. Certain moments, but you know, thankfully and through the grace of all things positive that happened, she came on board and played with us, and she's fantastic in it. She's just great to work with, a phenomenal actress.
James, yeah, I mean, you obviously got to many scenes with her. How was it working with Shawnee?
Wonderful. She's an excellent collaborator and very incredibly smart, and I think took the character into the stratosphere. Helped to, you know, show me certain sides of it that maybe I hadn't seen initially. And I felt like our scenes were really sort of fun and nuanced. And you know, we share a lot of scenes in the film, and I they were really fun for me as an actor to get to play with and sort of work out all those moments. So I feel very, very blessed, very fortunate. We had a really good time.
Throughout this production, we're obviously without giving anything away, did you have any like favorite moments, like behind the scenes moments as through the production?
We had to work Fast and Furious, that's for sure.
How many days was your shoot?
That's where it gets interesting. So, I mean, we had to break it up into certain time due to people's availability, Tyrese Gibson being available at a certain time, doing all his scenes. I'd say the total was somewhere in the range of 15 to 16 days if we break it all down. And we'd shoot a section 3 days, depending on availability, get everyone in during that time. Tyrese Gibson, another extremely talented, great actor to work with, fantastic in the film. You know, so we had to kind of make the world work, you know, over time, scheduling. There was a lot of intricacy in getting it, you know, but as long as our ultimate goal, as long as the film is seamless, we don't, all that is kind of, you know, in the past kind of thing. But, you know, there was always some scheduling to deal with throughout.
Yeah, it was, but in answer to your question about the behind the scenes, you know, it's always those moments where, because to Ante's point, it's so fast and furious and you're just kind of getting in there and you kind of have this running theme with everybody, you know what I mean? Where it's, you find your moments to talk to everybody that you need to talk to and vice versa. I think that the stuff that I always kind of enjoyed and still do with any film is later on, maybe, you know, at the hotel or on a drive home, talking and being like, wait, where were you? You know what I mean? And I was over here. This person was over there. And, you know, James was on the roof and, you know, Ante was, you know, running around in the backyard or whatever it is. You're creating a family, but you're also, then you have a family creating a family. So it's kind of cool.
Very much so.
If that makes sense, Brad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely does. With the script that you guys wrote, and as you were filming it, were there any either sacrifices that had to be made, or as you're filming, were you like, you know what, this was great on paper, but what if we did this to make it even bigger or whatnot?
No sacrifices at all.
Word for word, exactly. Yeah, word.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, 15 days, we got this, everything's going in.
I mean, nothing. What could, I mean, you know, why would you change? I mean, there was always, you know, and both James and Anthony were incredibly generous in that regard, being open to the idea of approaching a scene slightly differently based on, you know, the context of having time, having a location, having the talent, all these factors. But you know, it benefited in a lot of ways because it got us to put our heads together and kind of configure and figure out, like, how can we approach this differently right now without losing? I don't think we lost any scenes, to be honest. I think we reconfigured.
I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. I think we reconfigured. I think it was a...
You have to do that too. I'm cutting James off. Sorry.
No. Go.
But you have to do that. You know, we had the trust and a fantastic director and, you know, our other producing partner, and, you know, it's not, you're not losing, you're gaining because you're reconfiguring. You know what I mean? You find a way to take the connective tissue and still get what you needed to get. And look, sometimes it's better, you know, when you're in those situations, because you find out that you get something that you didn't even know was there. And then other scenes they turned out just as we wrote them.
Was there any scenes that, you know, you looked at from what you wrote to what ended up being filmed, and you're like, oh my gosh, that was better than I imagined even in my head? Obviously, there's nothing, you don't want to give anything away because I want people to see the movie. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything. I couldn't say anything was bad. I knew it was different.
Okay.
Right.
Different.
It was different. Right. I don't know. Better would be the right, you know, given the certain, like, kind of what we're working with. I think we discovered, like, you know, so discovery is great when it can happen. From time to time, when you have everything there, all the pieces there, and you're kind of scratching the head going, okay, we have X amount of hours. You know, how do we approach this? You know, as opposed to, because it gets very technical at a certain point. It's like, do we take the camera and put it on a dolly and go up to the upper level staircase and shoot from here to there? Or do we do a Steadicam and we just follow from here to there and we do something different here, like a whip pen or something? You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden you're like, you know, the scene's, you know, wanted to keep true to the story. That was the most important part. And that, like I said, there was many conversations. James and I would have lovely conversations where, you know, James a writer, I'm a director. We'd sit, we'd talk. I come over going, oh boy, how am I going to deliver this, you know, kind of change? James is extremely generous and smart enough to kind of come to it, and we collaborate and figure it out. Create something totally different and beautiful, I think.
Yeah, 1,000%. I think I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think it's Ante was able to really sort of kind of hone in on what the focus of the script was and what the real sort of core of the script was. And there's always going to be stuff that sort of falls away, and then that happens because of time, that happens because of, you know, when you put it all together. But I think the what I really do value and what I love about the film is that the core of it is there.
Those are the parts that we couldn't lose.
Yes.
I'm saying that's the stuff that we couldn't, you know, because once you start digging into that stuff, the story starts to fall. You know, that the essentials have to remain. So, you know, you stay staunch on, you know, what needs to be there. And then you accommodate with the stuff that you can change, or you have a little bit of room to manipulate.
And Brad, those conversations are had sometimes when you get there and you're staring at a day, or you're staring at a succession of days, those conversations, they definitely do happen behind the scenes where you're going, okay, we need this. This can't move. You know, there's no air around it. You know, we can find little tricks here and there, but this, we really need this for the narrative. And then you find other stuff where you're like, okay, if it's between these two, then this thing has to go.
Okay, the giant car explosion can go if it has to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you, all of a sudden you realize, you go, okay, it's like a game of Jenga. It's like, you know, and then sometimes you know, fortunately, it's a visual, you know, realm where you get to go, okay, if this shot can encompass that, if this could get across that idea, we win, right? Like, we can get this across in this framework. We win, you know, we don't have to lose that, you know, as opposed to like being crunched by time going, just chop it off. We're always trying to figure out how to keep everything in.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat with me. And before we go, is there anywhere, you know, social media or whatnot, we can, the people out there listening can follow along to you guys, what you have, you know, not only with Bloodline Killer, but anything they can watch for future?
Bloodline Killer movie is on Instagram, right? So that's the header for that. You can go there and check out everything that's happening with that. And it opens April 26th. It's going to be on Apple TV, selected theaters, and mostly every place you can find a film nowadays, from YouTube to Amazon to Hulu. And also just wanted to quickly say major thank you to all our talent in the film. Taryn Manning, Paresh Novakovich, if I didn't mention Tyrese again, Drew Moreland did a great job. I just wanted to encompass all the other folks that were in this film that made that as well.
True. Yeah, just to piggyback on what Ante said, it's going to be in all of those known places. And then all of us are just by our name per our socials. Yeah, everybody did a good job. He's not here right now, but Kresh's brother is very handsome, very charming, and did a great job as well. I know you saw the film, Brad. So
thank you. You know, of course, to like Ante had said, to the wonderful cast, the wonderful crew. We had a really, really, really remarkable team where we filmed in Connecticut. And looking forward to everyone seeing the movie, and
very excited.
Yeah, very excited.
Thank you guys again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Go see Bloodline Killer April 26th. I want to thank all three of them again for taking the time out of their day to chat with me. Absolutely had a great chat with them, and wish them all the best with this and their future projects. And before I head out, I just want to give you another film that you can stream at home. This is a movie called Isolation from 2005. This is streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi. Now, this is a film, if you search Isolation, especially on Tubi, a couple will come up. One is like a horror anthology that's actually on my list. And then there's this one that is, I'm just going to say, it's kind of a wild, wild ride. It's an Irish film set on this Irish farm with this farmer, and they did some genetic experiments on these cows, and some shit hits the fan. Things start to happen. It turns into this crazy, like, alien species, wild, almost, you know, a creature feature, so to speak. It was really fun to watch. Like, it's a slow burn a little bit at the beginning. Things start to pick up, and then it just kind of gets tense, and you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to die, and what's going to happen next. Highly recommend checking out Isolation. Like I said, it's streaming on Amazon Prime and also on everybody's favorite streaming service, Tubi. But there are multiple versions. Make sure you get the one directed by Billy O'Brien from 2005. Well, there you go. That will do it for another chapter of Old Man Brad. So make sure you subscribe to the show and you will never miss an episode. I'll be back soon with a new chapter. Just snuggle up in that blanket, turn off the lights, because it's okay to be scared. We'll talk to you later, everybody.